This is Scenic Roots talking writing. Today, the second half of my conversation with the guitarist and inventor Kaki King. We left off last time talking about the impact of the pandemic on life in New York City this past spring. And that's where we'll pick it up again.
It's been a reckoning for sure, but at the same time, I mean, my God, I think what's not being talked about often is that the reason we're not doing shows is because people are dying. The reason why we have live streams is because, you know, we'd like to keep our jobs and to, you know, connect with each other. But it seemed very, very, to me, inappropriate when people just rushed to everything being online. And the self-righteousness that came along with that. And I understand the financial implications more than anyone because, you know, I've got two children. And that there's nothing like that to make you feel like you're inadequate. And there's no amount of money that you could have that's going to protect these little things. But I still think it's really difficult to get excited about doing a show in any for any reason when we're in the middle of so much, we're surrounded by so much illness and so much death. And so I even question my own motives in doing the Georgia Tech live stream and putting out an album and in all of these things. It seems it's very hard for me to raise my hand and say, pay attention over here. I know there's a lot of hospitals that are full right now, but I play guitar really well. I mean, it's crazy. And I don't know how to balance that with, plus, you know, I need to make an income and I have merch items to sell. I mean, I don't know what to do. But I think about all those things every time I make a move.
Yeah, and it seems to me that at least in part, is the thinking behind the record, right? The music that you made. It's a response to this moment.
Interestingly, much of the music was written prior to the pandemic. Some of the titles had not. So the framework, the time frame of making the album was March 2nd to March 18th. March 2nd was, there were some cases, things were getting a little bit, you know, there were more than rumors and whispers. There was clearly something, but, you know, I played a massive party on that weekend, and, you know, the next week, school was closed, and New York City was in full lockdown. I mean, the timeline of making this album was very short, but it was the timeline that COVID came to the United States and was hitting New York especially. And we all got it. Everyone in the studio, we ended up passing it around to each other. Unbeknownst to us, because there was no way to, you know, we probably had already had it for a week. And anyway, so yes, there are some song titles that are very specific to the pandemic moment because of exactly when that album was being mixed and mastered, and we're talking March 18th, 19th, 20th. It's sort of at the, you know, the beginning of the beginning, or the middle of the beginning, I suppose, especially in New York.
Yes, I kept thinking, yeah, to have been in New York City at that point. I mean, I can't imagine, you know, I can't think of a parallel. I suppose a bit like being hit by a tornado. All of a sudden, everything that you've taken for granted can't be taken for granted anymore. Everything has been called into question and threatened.
Well, yes, but keep in mind, and this is the crazy part, is that it was supposed to be for 2 weeks.
Mm.
You know, I mean, that was not what people were telling us, but that was simply the, you know, kind of what we were going on, is that, you know, it was always a wait and see, but we just, you know, 2 weeks, a month, and then we had no idea. I mean, and people were like, a month? How will I ever survive? And little did we know. So, yes, that initial time frame was really hard, but it was nothing compared to what, you know, would eventually become our reality. And so even at the time, I thought, this is ridiculous. I can't name these songs, these titles. And even though they had been mastered, I thought, well, you know, nothing's gone to print yet. I can always change them. And so Sanitized Alone, Final State, Can't Touch This or That or You or My Face, you know, these are very obvious references to the pandemic, but they weren't even meant to be as permanent as they obviously now are.
This is Scenic Roots. My guest is the guitarist, writer, and inventor, Keke King, who has spent much of her life looking for ways to incorporate technology into her performances, both in the studio and in front of an audience. The inventor and futurist Ray Kurzweil, a man responsible, as much as anyone, for inventing machines that make music, predicts that by 2045, machines and humans will merge, redefining life as we know it. Listening to Keke King on record and watching one of her virtual shows staged at Georgia Tech recently is perhaps a glimpse of the future as Kurzweil sees it. About you as a performer, as a player, is to go back to that idea that that sort of Georgia Tech approach is an ideal for you, because there's so much tech involved in what you do, but then at the same time you're an improviser, so it's you know, and so very much in the moment, and every time you perform something it's different. When you introduce that level of tech, did that complicate your playing as an improviser, or not?
Not if you build it into the tech. So with all the performances that I do that have a major video component or a major, you know, triggering component, I mean, everything is built so that it can feel live. And that's really the trickiest part, because it's much easier to build a robust technical setup, you know, that is set almost as if it was hardwired, as if it's like a, you know, we replicate every time and we get the exact same output and we just, you know, pack it up and move it to the next place and then we do the same thing. And I don't want to do that. So with every performance, with every song, whatever it is, there is enough liveness, be that from my video operator performing with me, be that from myself triggering what you're looking at, from a variety of different ways, that, you know, this train could derail at any moment. And I think that people can sense that. It may not be absolutely obvious of who's pushing the button. You know, is it my guitar? Is it a video op backstage? You know, that's not really the point. It's the point is that it feels live and it feels in the moment. And maybe it's a few milliseconds off, and so it just, you know, you've got this sense that there's a human behind it all, and that is the goal. So yes, while I've introduced a lot of technology into my performance and playing in recent years, it still has this feeling of, you know, it's very human.
Congratulations on figuring out how to do that, because
I don't claim to be an expert. I'm only trying. I mean, it's only an attempt, right? But I think it's more about the philosophy and you know, keeping that as the goal rather than saying, well, I've perfected it, moving on, because, you know, there's nothing that'll kill you sooner than telling someone that you figured it all out.
Isn't that the truth? Yeah, I don't know. I know it. Yeah. You know, feeling, you know, feeling, technique in the service of feeling. Feeling, that's the hard part. That's the hard part to get across. You know, that's the hard part to connect with somebody. And
as,
you know, and but you manage that, and that's really hard. You know, tech has been so much a part of the music, particularly in the last, you know, 30, 40 years. And the problem with it, a lot of it is, you know, that they have a hard time with the feeling part. The tech part's great, you know, and all this whiz-bang stuff.
Yeah, but there's always been a lot of crap. And, you know, every musical genre, it's mostly terrible, and there's a couple of good things, and then, you know, that influences something else, and it morphs into its own thing. I mean, I truly believe that it's not, that nothing has changed. That's what I believe. That it is really, really difficult to write music that touches people and that people love, and they are, you know, what we call, would turn into classics. And, you know, the classics survive because that's all we have. Everything else dies some sort of death and then is resurrected as, you know, unheard or unknown. And it's maybe there was a good reason for that, and it just, to our new ears, sounds kitschy or funny or whatever. But no, there's always been bad music, trust me.
Agreed.
Technology did not change that force and probably made it much better.
I think the problem is that art is antithetical to business in some ways. Art is very much about the moment, whereas business wants something that's stable. You know, I think that's the challenge for any artist, is to create art that also draws an audience.
It's a age-old dilemma where, again, and, you know, acting like it's, you know, like all art that's been sold is a sellout, and all, you know, art that no one ever has heard of is pure. I mean, this, you know, I just don't buy into it. I think that advertising can be powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
no doubt.
I think that, you know, someone's underground record, it's not just, you know, personal. It's maybe personal to them, but it also can be quite terrible.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't really know. I've never had any clue as to who or what I'm trying to please. I live exclusively in an incredibly obscure, weird guitar world, even that I personally don't fit into much at all. And so I've never had this personal pressure on me to, like, go out and sell it. You know, I have a humble career. I'm very fortunate and lucky for it. I keep getting to explore new things, and it's fabulous. But I have had a lot of friends who over the years have suffered under the, you know, you need to sell your music and also sell yourself, and you need to look good while doing it. And it is, trust me, that is a life that I would never want.
you've cracked it, and very few people can. You know, very few people can, and I don't certainly want to tell you that you're done. You know, but that's cool.
You know what people say the most about me? They're like, I can't believe more people aren't here tonight. I can't believe more people haven't heard of you. And I'm like, don't you think there's a reason for that? I'm like all over the internet. Come find me. Hello, I'm not hard to find. And I think there's hundreds and hundreds of artists at my level that have the same thing. And I think that there is only a limited amount of people in this world who are going to like the thing that I do. And I am perfectly fine with that. I think that applies to a lot of others. And I don't think I've cracked anything. I think I've merely been I'm just too weird. I have in my whole life. This predates my career. I was just, I didn't fit in and I didn't care to or know how to. And even if I was like everyone else in the turn of the last century was just, you know, wandering around and investing in businesses and doing what they could, and the philosophers scratching their heads like, wow, how does any of this exist? How is this work in front of me real? I don't understand. You know, I just don't get it. And so that's kind of been my thing. Like, I've been my own worst enemy in that way, and yet it has saved me from having to, you know, swim along with everyone else.
Yeah. And I guess,
and not to mention the fact that no one in their right mind would ever, well, nowadays it's a little bit different, but 20 years ago, no one who had any kind of ambition would go out and say, I want to play solo acoustic guitar for the rest of my life. Like, that's crazy talk. And I didn't have that either. I just was doing it because I liked it and it was fun. And it did happen to turn into this amazing career. But not by, I think, despite myself rather than because of it.
Yeah, and I really admire that in a person who just follows their own star. Obviously, you know, you're a responsible person. You've got children. You're not kind of out there just saying, I don't care. But on an artistic level, you are. You're doing what feels right to you. And
yes,
when you do that, there's going to be people listen to you, and there's going to be people that enjoy it, I think. Always.
Keep in mind that so much of that often is not up to me or up to the artist. It's a very weird combination in my example with, you know, knowing what the guitar can do, wanting to do more, the guitar saying, no, we're going this direction, and this push and pull between the artist and the instrument, and sometimes the song doesn't come for months, and sometimes it writes itself in 5 minutes, and I do not have the equation. I don't have. I cannot write a song better or faster now than I could when I was 19. It's not up to me.
I know, it's such a life is an eternal paradox, is it not? If that wasn't evident before, it's I think it's evident now.
Yeah, sure is.
Looking at the internet, it appears that you're going to be playing shows live next year. Is that the plan?
these algorithmic artifacts, yes, are there was a European tour planned. I think we were talking about it pre-pandemic, and I think we confirmed the dates before it was known. I mean, who knows? So I will try to scrub those out. I know they're still probably on my Facebook, but they are, they have been reconfirmed for the fall. But even I am not at this point saying anything, because I would love to be able to go and play shows. I don't want anyone ever to be harmed because of something that I'm doing. So whatever happens, it will be with incredible caution that I would proceed. I would be shocked, but I would also be thrilled. I would be thrilled to go to New Jersey today. So, you know, times have changed.
What's your response to that kind of not knowing as a performer? Do you to go back to that question again? Do you intend to do more virtual shows or not?
I don't know. I think there are opportunities where there's a little more. There's a little more production value. I don't know. I mean, I think that my what I'd probably like to do is shift my talent to teaching in order to get to weather this financially. I mean, sure, if someone's willing to support a virtual show from me, 100%. And it doesn't cost me a thing to just, you know, turn on my phone and make a virtual tip jar. But again, it's this feeling of like, why am I doing this? What purpose am I serving? Am I, you know, is this fun for me? Is this fun for you? Is this, you know, I was watching the, Questlove. He's been doing these great DJ sets. He does them almost every night, and he's getting out the vote in Georgia. And like, you know, it's a party, but I have seen that guy DJ for thousands of people. He's a musical. You know, this brilliant musical mind who knows everything about everything. And he's like, just like any other person, like struggling with the tech and trying to make it look better than it is. I mean, you know, and like, oh man! But you know, it's the human spirit to try, right? The human spirit to get creative and do things. My answers to all these questions would be so different if I didn't have a 6-year-old and a 3-year-old, and you know, even when they're not taking up physical space, they take up a lot of mental space.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that probably my you know, I'm doing a better thing when I spend time with them, and you know, we just got new bicycles for everyone, and things like that. And I do think in the new year, I am gonna start teaching again, and hopefully, we'll you know, be able to really like. I feel like if I could help someone, like if I tangibly help someone become the musician they want to be, it would be so much more fulfilling than like playing to the live stream and then signing off. And I don't know what I'm going to get out of that or what else other people are going to get out of that.
Well, I can't speak for anybody else, but I watched the show that you did at Georgia Tech, and it was transcendent. For a moment, I was outside of it. For a moment, I could let it all go and just, you know, be there. And it was fun. I really enjoyed it. And I'm sure I'm not the only one that felt that way. So
That is beautiful feedback, and I really do appreciate it.
It's been great talking to you. And
to talk to you
give
too.
The little ones a hug for me. And
it's
been a pleasure.
It's been a pleasure as well. All right.
Thanks so much. King's new album is called Modern Yesterdays. From it, this is a tune called Say Say. This is Scenic Roots on listener-supported public radio.